This morning's responsive reading from the Word of God was found in Proverbs chapter 16, verses 16 to 33. And if you have a desire to follow along with us in some exposition or some comments made on a particular passage or a group of verses, please get your Bible, open it to Proverbs chapter 16, so you can see where we get our understanding and why we say the things that we say. Verse 16, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Now, once again, we have Hebrew parallelism, and you find this quite extensively in the book of Proverbs. You find it elsewhere, even in some of the teachings that Jesus will eventually give, and it's going to be recorded there in the Gospels. But let's look at verse 16. Okay? It talks about how much better it is to get wisdom. So you have getting wisdom modifies or points to getting understanding in the latter half of that same verse. So wisdom and understanding are being defined one with the other. One is giving light upon the other, and you can say just the opposite. One, the other is also casting light back to the other. Notice we have gold answers to what? Silver. And so how much better it is to get wisdom than to have all the money in the world, and how much better it is to get understanding rather than have the most choicest of silver coins. And so that's how you approach the book of Proverbs, and sometimes even sprinkled across the Psalms, you will find this Hebrew genre of poetic literature using what's called Hebrew parallelism, where in one verse you have a main thought, but it's broken into two parts, with one part casting light on the other. And you can also say the other is casting light back to the first part. Verses 18 to 19, we find something in Peter's epistles that says the same thing. We're told to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time, because God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I believe that's found in 1 Peter 5. Well, we have an Old Testament equivalent to 1 Peter 5. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So, using Hebrew parallelism, pride answers to a haughty spirit, and destruction answers to the word a fall. Again, noticing how one word helps to modify, or to define, or to cast light back on that particular word to grant understanding. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly, okay, than to divide the spoil with the proud. So you have humble spirit, right, answers to the word lowly, all right? Better it is to have a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So lowly is put in opposition to the one who is proud. Okay, and so again, the Bible here provides its own commentary and its own dictionary. And if people would just simply realize that the Bible is its own commentary, its own dictionary, and its own interpreter, just think how much confusion would be simply taken away if we just let the Bible speak on its own without interjecting any help from you and I. Also, too, verses 24, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Beloved, there are times and seasons where pleasant words are needed. Yes, there are times when sin is to be identified. There are times and seasons when sin is to be rebuked openly or publicly. There are times when we ought to name names. Those who are peddling a different Christ, a different gospel, and a different spirit, yes, 10 times yes. But then there are also different times based on the context and the situation that's at hand that pleasant words are needed. It says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Beloved, when somebody is discouraged, or someone's going through a real difficult time, okay, maybe they're going through a difficult time that is really not any fault of their own. They lost a job because a business was forced to cut back. That's not their fault. Person goes to the doctor and they get a real bad diagnosis. Well, that's, I doubt whether it's their fault directly unless they simply abuse their body outright. Or the death of a child or the death of a spouse. Something that was totally out of their control. And so they're down. Or maybe someone has been overcome with a fault, like we find in the book of Galatians. Most Christians, their first reaction is a bag of salt to throw on the wounds and a baseball bat to enhance the pain. That's how most Christians react. Condescending, self-righteous Pharisees just piling bricks on someone's head. You got to realize, beloved, that you might be overcome with a fall someday. Now, do you want someone to come to you with a bag of salt and a baseball bat? Now, we're not out here to condone anyone's sin. But maybe that brother or that sister needs to be picked up by their shoulders, brushed off, and then put back on the right path. And sometimes they might need pleasant words and not judgmental words in times and seasons. Verse 25 is a verse that's found more than once in your Bible. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Notice the word seemeth. Okay, that's kind of key. It looks right. It sounds right. It smells right. But the question is it right? Notice, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Okay, on the surface, it looks good. His opinions sound reasonable. His judgment sounds to be sound. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And so notice in verses 25, I think the key word in verse 25 is the word that seemeth. It may not be right, but it looks right, smells right, tastes right in his eyes. And then when he puts it into practice, it blows up in his face. And then he realizes what seemeth to be right was absolutely wrong in his sight. And then we're given some admonishments about certain people. Verse 27 and following. An ungodly man diggeth up evil. My word, all you got to do is look at President Biden. Look at certain members of Congress. Look at some members of the Supreme Court. Just even look locally here in Kansas with our own little Marxist governor. A froward, an ungodly man digs up evil. And in his or her lips, there is as a burning fire. And you have to stop and actually smell the roses here. You got to admit that some of the stuff that comes out of our vice president's mouth and Biden's mouth and Pelosi's mouth and Schumer's mouth and your liberal friends, some of the stuff that you hear flowing out of their mouth, my dear friends, is not pleasant words, but words that basically put an entire forest on fire. It's venomous. It's evil. There's nothing wholesome that comes out of their mouth. Not one wholesome word. A froward man, a man who specializes in lies, soweth strife, and a whisperer separated chief friends. Take verse 28 and apply that to a church like the church there in Corinth that was so divided and subdivided amongst its membership. Maybe those of you have been around the church block more than once, and you've been in different church assemblies, and you've had certain individuals that like to spread gossip. They like to go around with a spoon in one hand and a pot in the other, and they enjoy just agonizing the situation by stirring the pot. I believe that's the person who's being described in verse 28. A froward man, he sows strife. And a whisperer, like behind a Sunday school teacher's back, behind a deacon's back, behind the pastor's back, a whisperer separates chief friends. And what do you find when you have a church split? Where there was once friendship, now those friendships are gone. Where once there was a relationship, that relationship, unfortunately, is gone. And sometimes, it's kind of hard to stitch those relationships back. A violent man entices his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. Now look at verse 29 and go back to that verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Right? Verse 29, a violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. There seems to be a little bit of further expansion to verse 25 when you put verse 29 next to it. He that shutteth his eyes to devise froward things, moveth his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. So, beloved, when you look at verses 27, 28, 29, and verse 30, you got to admit that there are a lot of people who walk this planet who are being described here. Hopefully none of us are going to specialize in this type of behavior. But then you have the person who, in verse 31, the hoary head, the man who's gray-headed, beautiful head of hair, white as snow, is a crown of glory. But notice, there is a condition to that gray hair. And you may want to underline the little word if it be found in the way of righteousness. So notice, verse 25 talks about a way. Verse 29 talks about a way. And verse 31 talks about a way. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. And then we find the sovereignty of God. We have to be always reminded that God is in control, even when everything around us seems to be blowing up. The lot is cast into the lap, like casting dice or going to the voting booth, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Take that verse and bump it up to Acts chapter 1 when they had to replace a replacement for Matthias. They cast lots. And Matthias was chosen to replace Judas. Now, the church prayed over it. The church voted on it. But the whole disposing, according to that verse, God was behind the entire proceedings. Now, that's a good argument to present to someone who says, well, if you believe God's in control of all things, why pray? Why send missions? Well, God uses appointed means to bring about the will or his plan. Here, the lot is cast in the lap, right? So you have a choice. You're going to make a vote. You're going to make a choice. You're going to pick someone or do this or do that. But the whole disposing is of the Lord. Take it to Acts chapter 1. You got a church holding a business meeting. Peter stands up, gives the agenda, the need to replace Judas's apostolic chair, if you will. Qualifications are given for the right person, for the right job, if you will. People are given their white stone, black stone, whatever way they did it, supposedly. Everybody cast their vote. Matthias got more votes than the other guy. And yet, the whole disposing, according to verse 33, was of the Lord. God not only makes the decree, he also ordains the means by which his decree will become a reality. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.